Number 5, Iowa redistricting process. A, preliminary work. Number 1, reporting of population data to the states, establishing geographic boundaries. Redistricting in Iowa is not a one-year event. In fact, the process for establishing new congressional and legislative boundaries begins long before the census is conducted and redistricting plans are prepared. One aspect of redistricting which is accomplished prior to the collection of census data is the establishment of geographic areas for the reporting of population data collected by the Census Bureau. The boundaries of these geographic areas must coincide with recognizable map features such as roads and rivers and can represent current local election precincts. Specifically, geographic areas for a state can be determined by the state subject to the approval of the Census Bureau. In Iowa, legislative leadership and the governor have authorized the Legislative Services Agency to establish, in coordination with the Census Bureau, permissible geographic areas based on recognizable political boundaries, such as precincts. The Census Bureau reports population data collected based on these geographical areas to the states, which is then used by the states in drawing congressional and legislative districts within constitutional constraints. Number 2, census day apportionment. Article 1, Section 2 of the United States Constitution establishes the requirement for conducting an enumeration of persons in each state every 10 years. The census enumeration date is April 1st of each year, ending in zero. Title 13 of the U.S. Code requires that the apportionment counts, i.e., the resident population totals for each state, be delivered to the president within 9 months of the census enumeration date, i.e., by December 31st of that same year. Within a week of the opening of the next session of Congress, the president must report to the clerk of the House of Representatives the census counts for each state and the number of representatives for which each state is entitled. The U.S. Code provides that the number of representatives to be apportioned to each state shall be determined by the mathematical formula known as the method of equal proportions. Within 15 days of the president's report, the clerk of the House informs each state governor of the number of representatives to which the state is entitled. The legislatures in each state are then responsible for geographically defining the boundaries of their congressional districts through redistricting. B. Iowa Redistricting Plan Adoption, Timeline and Process. Number 1. Legislative Services Agency Duties. Code Section 42.2 requires the Legislative Services Agency to take the necessary steps to prepare for the process of redistricting. Specifically, the Legislative Services Agency is authorized to acquire the necessary equipment and materials to perform the duty of redistricting. In addition, by December 31st of each year ending in zero, the Legislative Services Agency is directed to prepare the necessary geographic descriptions for the geographic units that will be used by the Census Bureau in reporting population data and to begin preparing maps of counties and cities for use in visually describing proposed new districts. The Legislative Services Agency is also required to assign each geographic unit with population totals from the Census Bureau as soon as possible after January 1st of each year ending in 1, in order to begin a process of redistricting. Finally, once the Legislative Services Agency releases a proposed redistricting plan to the General Assembly, the Legislative Services Agency is required to make available to the public copies of the bill embodying the plan, maps illustrating the plan, a summary of redistricting standards used to develop the plan as prescribed by the code, and a statement about the population of each proposed district and its deviation from the ideal district population. Number 2, Temporary Redistricting Advisory Commission. A. Selection. Code Section 42.5 provides for the establishment of a 5-member temporary redistricting advisory commission by February 15th of each year ending in 1. 4 of the commission members are to be selected by the respective majority and minority floor leaders for the General Assembly convening in each year ending in 0. Within 30 days after the 4 appointments have been made, but in no event later than February 15th, the 4 commission members shall select, by a vote of at least 3 members, the 5th commission member who shall also serve as chairperson. The code provides that a commission member shall be an eligible voter of this state, but shall not hold a partisan political office or political party, or be related to or employed by a member of the United States Congress or the Iowa General Assembly, or be employed by the Congress or Iowa General Assembly itself. B. Duties. Code Section 42.6 describes the functions of the commission. Generally, the Commission's role is twofold: to provide advice and guidance to the Legislative Services Agency on certain redistricting matters, and to conduct public hearings and submit a report to the General Assembly on the first proposed plan. Specifically, the Commission may provide direction to the Legislative Services Agency as to how to resolve certain redistricting questions that are not clearly answered by the Code or applicable constitutional mandates upon written requests by the Legislative Services Agency. In addition, the Commission has the authority to establish guidelines concerning the release of information by the Legislative Services Agency about a particular redistricting plan prior to its formal release to the Senate and House. Once the first proposed redistricting plan is released to the General Assembly, the Commission is required to schedule and conduct at least 3 public hearings in different geographic regions of the state and to issue a report to the General Assembly summarizing the information and testimony received. The Commission is not required to conduct public hearings or issue a report following submission of a second or third proposed redistricting plan. 3. Plan preparation. The timetable for preparing and finally approving a congressional and legislative redistricting plan is detailed in Code Section 42.3 and Article 3, Section 35 of the Iowa Constitution. A. First plan. The Legislative Services Agency is required to deliver the first proposed congressional and legislative redistricting plan to both chambers of the General Assembly by April 1st of each year ending in 1. This deadline is extended, however, if the necessary population data to prepare a legislative redistricting plan is not received from the Census Bureau by February 15th. If the information is received after February 15th, the April 1st deadline is extended by the same number of days by which the receipt of the necessary census information is delayed beyond February 15th. For example, if the census data is received February 28th, then the Legislative Services Agency is required to submit a redistricting plan by April 14th. Once the first redistricting plan is submitted to the General Assembly, the Temporary Redistricting Advisory Commission is required to hold at least 3 public hearings about the plan in different geographic regions of the state and to submit a report concerning the hearings to the General Assembly. The Commission is required to submit its report no later than 14 days after the first plan is submitted to the General Assembly. Once the report is submitted, the General Assembly is required to bring the redistricting bill to a vote in one of the chambers expeditiously, but in no event less than 3 days after the Commission report is submitted. If the bill passes in one chamber, then the second chamber is required to take up the bill in an expeditious manner. Only corrective amendments to the redistricting plan are allowed. B. Second plan. If the first redistricting plan fails to be enacted, the Legislative Services Agency is required to submit a second plan. The second plan must be prepared in accordance with the reasons cited, if any, by the Senate or the House by resolution, or the governor by veto message for the failure to approve the first plan, as long as the reasons do not conflict with any redistricting standard provided by the Code. The second redistricting plan is required to be submitted to the General Assembly no later than 35 days after the first plan is disapproved. The General Assembly shall proceed to a vote on the second plan no sooner than 7 days after the bill is submitted, and like the first plan, only corrective amendments are allowed. The Temporary Advisory Redistricting Commission is not required to hold public hearings concerning the second plan. C. Third plan. If the second redistricting plan fails to be enacted, the Legislative Services Agency is required to submit a third plan. The third redistricting plan is required to be submitted to the General Assembly no later than 35 days after the second plan is disapproved. As is the case with the second plan, the third plan shall be prepared in accordance with the reasons cited for the rejection of the second plan. The Temporary Advisory Redistricting Commission is not required to hold public hearings concerning the plan, and the General Assembly is directed to proceed to a vote on the third plan no earlier than 7 days after submission of the bill. However, unlike the first two plans, the third plan is subject to amendment in the same manner as any other bill. D. Judicial intervention. If no redistricting plan is enacted into law, or if a plan is challenged in court and rendered invalid, the Iowa Supreme Court will likely assume or be given the responsibility for establishing a valid redistricting plan. Legislative redistricting. For state legislative redistricting, Article 3, Section 35 of the Iowa Constitution specifically directs the Iowa Supreme Court to develop a redistricting plan for the General Assembly prior to December 31st of any year ending in 1 if the General Assembly fails to pass an apportionment plan by September 1st of that year. That becomes law by September 15. If a plan is enacted by the General Assembly but is subsequently challenged and struck down by the Iowa Supreme Court, Article 3, Section 36 of the Iowa Constitution provides that the Supreme Court has 90 days to adopt a valid apportionment plan. Congressional redistricting. For congressional redistricting, Article 3, Section 36 of the Iowa Constitution provides that the Iowa Supreme Court has original jurisdiction of all litigation questioning any apportionment plan adopted by the General Assembly. In addition, this constitutional provision provides that the Iowa Supreme Court shall review any requirement to include state legislative districts wholly within a particular congressional district is subservient to the requirements provided in subsections 1 through 5 of Code Section 42.4, i.e. population equality, respect for political subdivisions, contiguousness, compactness, and political and racial neutrality. Supreme Court, the Supreme Court has 90 days to adopt a valid apportionment plan. Unlike legislative redistricting, however, the Iowa Constitution does not provide a time deadline for the General Assembly to redraw congressional boundaries or any requirement for the Iowa Supreme Court to redraw congressional districts if the General Assembly is unable to enact a new plan. However, if a state has not yet adopted new congressional district boundaries prior to the next congressional election, the U.S. Code provides for election of representatives on a statewide basis if the number of representatives for the state has increased or decreased based on the census, or if the number of representatives for a state remains unchanged, permits election from the previous created districts. However, if districts that were drawn based on the prior census but not the current census are used, shifts in the population within a state from one census to the next would probably result in population variations between the districts that would not meet the constitutional requirements to have districts equal in population as nearly as practicable. C. Post-redistricting effects, senators. 1. Overview. The Iowa Constitution provides that senators shall be elected to 4-year terms and that, as nearly as possible, one half of the members of the Senate shall be elected every 2 years. To implement this constitutional requirement, elections in Iowa for state Senate seats are staggered over 2 general election year cycles, with elections in odd-numbered senatorial districts held in 1 general election year and elections in even-numbered senatorial districts held in the next general election year. Based on this, elections for odd-numbered senatorial districts are required to be held in 2002, 2006, 2010, 2014, and every 4 years thereafter. Conversely, elections for even-numbered senatorial districts are required to be held in 2000, 2004, 2008, 2012, and every 4 years thereafter. Redistricting impacts this staggered election year cycle by occurring just 2 years after an election for half of the seats in the Senate and by inevitably changing the boundaries and numbering of senatorial districts. While the Iowa Constitution recognized this potential impact of redistricting by permitting the reapportioning authority to shorten the term of any senator if necessary when establishing new senatorial districts, Iowa law does not mandate an election in every senatorial district for the next general election cycle following redistricting. Instead, Iowa law provides that certain Senate incumbents shall be allowed to continue serving for a 4-year term without being subject to an election during the first general election following redistricting. Number 2. Senate elections following redistricting. A. Overview. Code Section 42.4, Subsection 8, resolves the question as to whether, following redistricting, an incumbent senator will be required to seek re-election for a 4-year term at the next general election, will be required to seek re-election for a shortened 2-year term at the next general election, or will be permitted to continue serving a 4-year term without an election during that first general election following redistricting. However, in no event will an incumbent senator be allowed to serve a 6-year term without an intervening election. The determination of whether an election is required for a particular incumbent senator depends on the following factors. 1. whether a particular senatorial district is required to conduct an election during that general election. 2, where the incumbent senator resided during the senator's last election and on the first Wednesday in February of the year ending in 2. 3, whether more than one incumbent senator resides in a particular new senatorial district on the first Wednesday in February of the year ending in 2. 4, whether an incumbent senator has resigned the senator's seat effective prior to the convening of the next General Assembly by the third Wednesday in February of the year ending in 2. B, Senate election required, 4-year term. Every senatorial district in the plan that is numbered with an even or odd number in the same manner as senatorial districts which were required to elect a senator in the year ending in 8 is required to elect a senator in the year ending in 2 for a 4-year term. As a result, odd-numbered senatorial districts following redistricting in 2001 were required to elect a senator in 2002 for a 4-year term. And all even-numbered senatorial districts following redistricting in 2011 will be required to elect a senator in 2012 for a 4-year term. The fact that an incumbent senator who was just elected from a district in the general election just prior to redistricting may now reside in a district required to conduct an election in the year ending in 2 does not modify the requirement that an election will still be required since no incumbent senator is allowed to serve for 6 years without an election. C. Holdover senatorial districts. Newly created senatorial districts, which are numbered such that an election is not required in the general election following redistricting, are defined as holdover senatorial districts. As a result, new even-numbered senatorial districts created following redistricting in 2001 were considered holdover senatorial districts, and new odd-numbered senatorial districts created following redistricting in 2011 will be considered holdover senatorial districts. While each holdover senatorial district will elect a senator in the year ending in 4 for a 4-year term, the question is who shall serve in the holdover senatorial district during the General Assembly convening in January of the year ending in 3 and whether or not an election in the year ending in 2 for a shortened 2-year term will have to be held. Number 1, election required for shortened 2-year term. An election for a shortened 2-year term in a holdover senatorial district is required under any of the following circumstances. If no incumbent senator resides in a new holdover senatorial district, if at least 2 incumbent senators reside in a holdover senatorial district as of the first Wednesday in February of the year ending in 2 and have not resigned from office effective no later than January of the following year by the third Wednesday in February of the year ending in 2. If only one incumbent senator resides in a new holdover senatorial district as of the first Wednesday in February of the year ending in 2, but the requirements described in subparagraph 2 are not met. 2. Election not required for shortened 2-year term. An election for a shortened 2-year term in a new holdover senatorial district shall not be required, and the affected incumbent senator can serve in that district until the year ending in 4 if all of the following requirements are met. Only one incumbent senator who has not resigned and who was elected from a district requiring an election in the year ending in 0 is residing in a new holdover senatorial district as of the first Wednesday in February of the year ending in 2. Even if 2 or more incumbent senators reside in the holdover senatorial district as of that date, if all but one incumbent senator in the new district resigns effective no later than January of the following year by the third Wednesday in February of the year ending in 2, then the district shall be deemed to have but one incumbent senator for purposes of determining whether an election shall be required. The place of residence of the incumbent senator on the first Wednesday in February of the year ending in 2 and the senator's place of residence on the date of the senator's last election are located in the same holdover senatorial district of the new plan, or the place of residence of the incumbent senator on the first Wednesday in February of the year ending in 2 is located in a new holdover senatorial district contiguous to another new senatorial district that includes the place of residence of the incumbent senator on the date of the senator's last election and the place of residence of the incumbent senator on the first Wednesday in February of the year ending in 2 would have been located in the senatorial district from which the senator was last elected. This provision means so long as all other requirements are met that an incumbent senator who was elected from a senatorial district requiring an election in a year ending in zero can move to any part of that senator's old district by the first Wednesday in February of the year ending in two and avoid an election in November of that year if the senator's new place of residence is in a newly created holdover senatorial district and the senator's old place of residence on the date of the senator's last election is in another newly created contiguous senatorial district. 3. Renumbering criteria. The code provides that any redistricting plan shall provide for the election of senators, which shall be consistent with the requirements of Article 3, Section 6 of the Iowa Constitution, that, as nearly as possible, one-half of the members of the Senate shall be elected every 2 years. Based on this mandate, then, every attempt is made to avoid elections for a shortened 2-year term in holdover senatorial districts by numbering the newly drawn districts so that a holdover senatorial district includes the residence of an incumbent senator who was elected from a senatorial district requiring an election in the year ending in zero.